Good afternoon and welcome. Welcome to people who've travelled from quite somewhere and those who've come through traffic jams in the middle of Gloucester and just got here. But do welcome to you all. Some haven't been to Lidbrook before, but as they've just said, it's a very nice place, a very attractive place. Just before I hand over to Alistair, just a few housekeeping matters. If anybody needs the loos, they are out the front and that side, both sides. It's like in an aircraft, isn't it? Get your seatbelts down. We're not expecting a fire drill, so if somebody does shout fire, unless you're a Pentecostal, you go out the front or you go out there. There will be tea and refreshments provided afterwards, and I think Joy's going to talk a little bit about the arrangements afterwards. But please feel welcome to stay with us and consume the cakes. As one of the ladies from another church did say, didn't you, Joy? Didn't you, Joan? What is a Baptist church without cake? And I do agree. Thank you. But, Alistair, over to you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Tony. Good afternoon, everyone. It's lovely to be here, and congratulations on arranging the weather. I find as I travel around the west of England, not every church is capable of arranging the weather. So it's lovely to be here on such a beautiful day today. And we come together recognizing that we are in the presence of God, not because we're in this building, but because he is the God who journeys with us through all the situations and circumstances of our lives. And we gather today to worship him. The psalmist wrote, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. So come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. And by his grace, we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." So we begin our sung worship as we sing that great hymn of the Christian faith. To God be the glory, great things he has done. And if you're able to stand, let me invite you to do so.
Thank you.
allow me to lead us in prayer from the front as you remain seated. Father in heaven, we remember that you are the Lord God Almighty, the one who imagined the universe and brought it into being, and the one who sustains all things by the word of your power. And as we gather together today, we remember that you are truly a great God. As we gather together, we remember not only are you a great God, but you are a God whose heart overflows with love for all you have created. We thank you that your word says that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that we might have the opportunity of being reconciled to you, that we might be restored to the relationship that you originally intended we might enjoy. We thank you that having been reconciled to you, that you in your grace have given to us a ministry of reconciliation. And you have called us, each one of us, irrespective of our particular role in life, but to each one of us who claims to be a follower of Jesus, an apprentice of Jesus, you've called us to be an ambassador of Jesus, of your truth and of your values, and in demonstration of your character. And we pray that as we gather together today, that we might know the presence and the enriching of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for Joy and for Dave, for their family. And we pray particularly for them that today might be a very special day indeed. And a special day for those who are part of Lidbrook Baptist Church. And we pray that what begins in a formal sense today will result in a greater sense of your kingdom coming here in Lidbrook and beyond, and a deeper sense of your will being done in and beyond this community. Hear our prayer. Accept our worship, we pray, in the powerful name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. So this is a very special day today, and we join together to induct Joy as minister in training here at Lidbrook Baptist Church. It's a special day, as I alluded to in the prayer, for Joy and for David, and a special day for those of you who are part of Lidbrook Baptist Church. Today we welcome Joy into the life and ministry of this church. As she moves into the next stage of her formation for pastoral ministry. And it's right that both church and pastor should make promises to each other as the sign of covenant relationship between them. A covenant which we pray will bear fruit in effective ministry and growth in grace. And so we come to a part in the service that's entitled Telling the Story. And in a moment, I'm going to invite Ken Davis, a representative from Lidbrook Baptist Church, to come and share the journey, the church's journey to appointing Joy as minister in training. And then I'll invite Joy to come and to share that same journey, but from her perspective. And after that, I'll invite Chris Norden from Bristol Baptist College just to come and to share a few words from the perspective of the college. So this is a wonderful day today when different parties come together and affirm the calling of God on someone's life. So first of all, Ken, and then without any further announcement, Joy, and then immediately after that, Chris, and then I shall reappear. Ken, I'm not sure. There you are.
Thank you, Alistair. Somebody said when I arrived, am I come to a wedding? I've got my pink tie. In fact, I think I'm the only one with a tie at the front today, so there we are. It is a form of a wedding because we're joining hearts and hands with you, Joy and Dave, and it's good that we can celebrate today in such a wonderful way. Let me take you back to 2007, when Beth Jackson was minister in training here. She was studying at Bristol Baptist College during that time. And her husband, the Reverend Darrell Jackson, was a lecturer at Redcliffe Bible College in Gloucester until, sadly, he was made redundant in 2011. Beth did her three-year training. She was ordained, and she began her ministry here. And I think just 3 months into that ministry, it was clear that Darrell had other plans. He'd got a job in Australia, of all places. I hope that doesn't happen in your... No, it won't. And so he was given a role in the Bible College in Australia, in Sydney. Now, Beth had developed with the church during that time, and we still have that close relationship with Coleford. Nice to see you folk here this afternoon. And during that time, they agreed with the then Reverend Peter Wade to be the moderator here until his retirement in 2012. The late Derek Wadley, that most of us know, was an associate elder here. And we have fond memories of the late Derek Wadley. And then the story goes that Carolyn Schofield joined this church in 2010 and became a member in 2012. She was studying online with Spurgeon's College, London, and felt a real strong call to ministry. I think there was consultation with Webnet at the time. But she was also appointed minister in training. She was a very useful lady. She led worship, she ministered, she led prayer meetings. She was very, very active. And she was here in ministry from 2013 to 2019. I won't ask you to remember all these dates, but this is the story thus far. Well, in 2012, for some reason or another, they asked me here to preach on occasions, and I did this with many other different preachers. And then, for some apparent reason, they asked if I would be a moderator here. And I just felt at the time, well, maybe we weren't really looking for a minister at the time, so we gave me a different name, spiritual advisor. I've never been so proud of that role. It's been a challenge because I've been able to help and support the deacons and the members during these years whilst we've not had ministry. And because of this role, I moved from Gorsley Baptist Church, where we were members, in 2019. And latterly, in the last couple of years, the church has agreed for me to be a presiding elder. So today is a very special day for me because I see the reins being handed over. No grey hairs yet, Joy. They will come. Now, at the AGM in 2024, February 2024, the deacons prior to this had been talking about the need for pastoral oversight. To have somebody here that would not only look after the pastoral side, but be very much engaged in the community. The refurbished school room, which is now the upper room, had been completed, and we were already beginning to do community activities there. So we kind of sensed that it was a good time to be thinking about calling a part-time community pastor to serve here to help us move things on from where we are. So we put out the required, what do we call it, Tony? our story. We put that out to WebNet to say who we were and what we were, who we were looking for, and not really much happened because not too many ministers are looking for a part-time role. And so it was a great delight, I have to say, in October 2024 when we met this lovely couple who came to us. And the deacons felt a real close affinity with them both. We felt there was a real synergy there, that we could actually work together with Joy and with Dave. And we kind of hit it off there and then, didn't we? I'm glad you're nodding in the right direction. But it suggested to us as the deacons and the members that God was really in this. Because, in a sense, she came out of the blue. And it's great that she's here today, obviously. It wasn't a surprise at a church meeting in December 2024 that the deacons and members were unanimous in calling Joy to serve here as minister in training. We're absolutely delighted that you accepted willingly. And we're glad about that. We're grateful to WebNet, to you, Alistair, in particular, for your involvement. To Paul Charlton Kings, thank you for releasing this lovely couple. They're ours now. I think they'll come and visit. To Bristol Baptist College for their support in this. You've made it possible. To the members, the deacons and members of this church, well done in the work that you have put into this today. Your prayers have been answered. And I can say that with absolute certainty, that we did not know what was going to happen. We put it out there, as it were, and said, Lord, you're going to choose the right one. And she's here, which is great. No pressure now, Joy, you're all right. We believe that the Holy Spirit has led us thus far, and we believe that he will continue to do so. We're very thankful to the answer that God has given us through the sheer power of intercessory prayer. We have really sought God on this, and we're grateful to all of you to coming and supporting us. It's an answer to prayer. So if you're doubting that God answers prayer, he does, and this is a result of this. So we look forward to a new ministry, a fruitful ministry in this long history here at Lidbrook. Thank you very much. Thanks, Alistair.
Thank you, Ken. Nothing to live up to there, then. we're trying out new microphones, so just wave if you can't hear me, and apologies if it does make any screeches. I can hear it's working, though. Thanks, Nigel. And can I just take the opportunity to say thank you so much to everyone for being here today, especially those who've travelled. I think my lovely sister has probably come the furthest, all the way from Kent, to support me. So thank you very much for that. And thank you to those who've come from Charlton Kings and who've encouraged and supported both of us along the way and on the journey so far. Thank you very much for that. And I was thinking we didn't know exactly how many people were going to be here today, and I was really hoping that there would be enough to need to use the balcony. And I can just see that Keith's hiding way up there. It's really good to see you up there. And my prayer is that over the course of the next few years here at Lidbrook, that the balcony will be filled once more. Because isn't it a gorgeous building? It's small but beautifully formed. And I just think of the history in this place. I've met some people who are here who can remember sitting up in the balcony in days gone by. My prayer is that the whole building will be filled again one day soon. My story. So I've been an active player in all of the churches that I've belonged to over the years. I've never believed in just being a pew filler, and that we've always got a part to play. And I got involved in the music side of things from quite an early age, especially, and that sort of led into leading worship. But God led me down the path of being a nurse, and that's what I've been doing for most of the last 30 years, and that's kind of been quite a good training ground, I think. And it was a few years ago, whilst I was serving as a deacon at Charlton King's, that that I asked Sue, who was our minister then, about investing in myself more as a leader. And she signposted me to a little course at Bristol Baptist College called Disciple Makers, which was one day a week and kind of was a bit of dipping my toe in the theological world, and quite cunningly or strategically arranged to be on a Wednesday, which was when the ministerial students were hanging out there as well. And so we got to sort of be a part of their journey and get a feel for what ministerial training was like without actually having to do any committing to it or anything like that at that point in time. And having really enjoyed that course, but not really known at the time whether that was going to be an end in itself or lead on to anything else, it was sort of coming towards the end of that time. I was still working as a nurse. I think I'd given up my full-time job at that point so that I could have the freedom to be flexible to work around the needs of my stepchildren. But was starting to apply for permanent roles again. And it just seemed like a brick wall was being put up. Every time I applied for a job, even if it felt like it had my name all over it and I was more than qualified, there was something stopping me from getting those jobs. So I began to say, okay, God, what's going on here? And it was, I think, early 2023 that I started getting nudges towards ministry, but I really was kind of digging my heels in a bit and didn't really think that it could be something that was for me. I was divorced, among other things, and thought that that would preclude me from training to be a minister. But it was, I think, after two or three successive talks within the space of a few weeks about Moses at the burning bush, which Paul's going to talk a little bit about later, that I realised I'd been having that same sort of argument with God. No, I can't lead. I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm not good enough. I'm not this enough. And so kind of listening to God all the reasons why he shouldn't call me, really. but yeah, there was a talk somewhere along the way which convinced me that that actually this was God's calling. And maybe later on I'll read the poem to you, which sort of finally broke through to me. So I spoke to my minister at Charlton King's, I spoke to them at college, and they all encouraged me to apply, especially Tim Welch, who some of you will know, who was in charge of ministerial formation at the time. And had a few chats with Alistair, I think, at that point as well, who I already knew because he was helping us through the process at Charlton King's of finding a minister. But I knew God wasn't calling me there. So for the first year of my training at Bristol, I didn't have an official placement, but God was doing a lot of stuff in us as a family, and his timing is perfect, isn't it? So whilst I was retaining an active part at Charlton King's, I didn't have a placement, and then Paul came to be our minister at Charlton King's, and I felt as though I was sort of being a bit released up. And then within the next couple of months, we started hearing news that there was this church in Lidbrook who was looking for a community pastor, and that's where our paths started to come into alignment, I think. And when I heard the words community pastor rather than minister, I thought, ooh, that sounds interesting. That sounds quite me. And so the meeting was set up for me to, for us to come and meet with them at the church here. And Dave and I were really pleased to meet with the leadership here. And I had really prayed for somewhere where Dave could feel as much at home as I could, because the family at Charlton King's Baptist Church had been such a support to us both. It was really important that we found somewhere who could be as much a support to him as to me. And we really got that sense from Ken and Tony and Catherine and the leaders here that that Lidbrook could be that place for us. And I think the rest is history, really, as Ken's already said. So that's my story for now.
Good afternoon. It's really good to be here. As the programme says, I'm Chris. I'm here on behalf of Bristol Baptist College. I'm relatively new to this role, and I've not been to many of these sort of events, so I actually brought a tie and kept it in my pocket because I wasn't quite sure what the form would be, but I took my lead from the majority of you and didn't put it on. It's a real joy to be here today and to warmly commend Joy to you on behalf of the college. Joy has already mentioned her history with the college, starting on our Disciple Maker program. But I want to just say a few things about what we've learned about you, Joy, at college. And I have talked to some of my colleagues about this who've known you for longer. I know that... Let me change tack. I've got an aunt called Grace, and I think that she was sometimes a bit troubled by what she felt as a pressure to live up to that name. And some of us might struggle if we were called Joy, but something I have seen in and discovered about Joy in the short time since I joined the college staff is that she has a gift of joy, of cheerfulness, of seeing and embracing the positives in situations and in people. And this is despite, or perhaps in some ways because of, the challenges that she has faced before she came to college and at times during her time at college. And it's been a privilege, Joy, for me and my colleagues and other students to see you growing in your confidence and in your capacity, particularly for perhaps the upfront things that you shied away from a bit before. But you will discover here at Lidbrook that Joy is very much a people person and is really often has an ability to speak into situations, and we feel confident that she will be a blessing to you here. And the programme refers to the desire for partnership, and we do see this very much as a three-way partnership. We support Joy. Joy brings a lot to our college community, and the way we learn and form ministers in college is through community, through learning from one another. So please do encourage and affirm Joy in her role at college. She will not only be blessed there, but will be a blessing to others there. She is a blessing to others there. But we want this to be a partnership with the church here, and we want to support you in any way we can. And please do reach out to us if you want to say anything to us at any time. So please don't ever forget that you are very blessed to have Joy here among you, and do treasure her. And Joy, I say to you, as you follow in the footsteps of the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, may the Lord grant you confidence as you look ahead, and strength for the challenges ahead, and joy on the journey ahead. Amen.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you, Chris. And if it helps, I've been doing this job for 18 years, and my tie is in my laptop bag. Just in case. So we've got a sense of this wonderful journey that is coming together, haven't we? And we do want to be celebrating that today, as we continue to celebrate the goodness of God. We're going to continue in our sung worship as we sing the modern hymn, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, worship his holy name." And again, if you're able, let me invite you to stand.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
This is the point in our service where I'm going to invite Joy to make some promises. And then after Joy has made some promises, I'm going to invite Dave to make a promise and to offer his support to Joy as her husband. And then I'll invite those of you who are members to make the promise, and then the rest of the congregation if you would like to. So I'll try to guide you through that helpfully at the appropriate time. I'll try. So Joy, let me ask you, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord?
This is the God I trust, and Jesus is my Saviour and Lord.
Joy, do you believe that God has called you through his church to this time of preparation here in this congregation and to a life of ministry in the wider church?
As a disciple of Jesus Christ, I believe that God has called me here.
Joy, you have responded to God's call to Christian ministry and set out now to prepare for it here. Do you promise to live a life worthy of your calling, offering your gifts of body, mind and spirit to the service of Christ through the life of this church and its community?
I do, the Lord being my helper.
Joy, will you be open to change and obedient to what you learn from congregation and college? Will you seek to form relationships of care and respect with the people you meet here, and pray with them and for them, for the sake of Christ's purposes in all our lives?
I will, God's Spirit empowering me.
Joy, in the ministry of preaching and teaching and pastoral care in this place, do you promise to apply what you have learned and will learn about God's word and God's world?
I will, the risen Christ inspiring me.
Dave, would you like to come and join us for a moment? So, David, will you support Joy in this ministry and play your own part in the fellowship of this church so that we may together discover further signs of God's love amongst us?
As a disciple of Jesus Christ and with the help of God's Spirit, I will.
Thank you. Just stay there. So let me invite those of you who are members of Lidbrook Baptist Church, if you are able to stand, please. Thank you. Brothers and sisters, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord?
This is the God we trust, and Jesus is our Saviour and Lord.
Will you, the members of this church, give to Joy your love and support, allowing her the space to learn and grow, and encouraging her together with David and their families as they continue to respond to God's call to Christian ministry?
Gladly we will.
And now I ask a question of yourselves as members, and also of Joy and Dave. Will you all, from this day forward, covenant together to further the work of Christ's kingdom in the ministry and mission of this church, through the developing ministry of Joy and the shared ministry of us all?
This is the ministry of Jesus Christ, in which we are glad to share. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. And let me invite everyone else, if you're able to stand, would you join us in standing, please, as I invite you to express your support to this ministry, which in a formal sense begins today. As representatives of the wider church and community, will you offer your support at this new beginning in the life of church and minister in training, and will you join in praying for them all? Thank you. Do be seated, please. So we come now to a part in the service where we're going to pray for Joy and for David too. And a number of friends have been asked if they would come and join us in this. Paul, you're going to come. And thank you. Chris, Louise, I think you're going to come. Yeah, come on, Miss Louise. So, we...
should have made some space for me.
Have you heard of the game Twister? So, we don't have a roving microphone, so our friends here are going to, when they pray, are going to speak loudly so that we can all hear. And we're not all necessarily going to pray, but three or four of us will. So please do lead us in prayer, and then I'll wind up at the end.
Okay. Father God, we pray for Dave and for Joy that their life here will be a life of abundance. You promised us abundant life in you. And Father, we pray for abundance of love, abundance of wisdom, abundance of joy, abundance in the families, abundance in every walk of their lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Father God, as the river flows down the bottom of the village, so too may the river of your Holy Spirit flow in and through Joy and Dave's lives as they minister to one another, to the church, to the community, and receive ministry from the church and community. Yeah. Father, we thank you that you continue to bless, that you continue to guide, you continue to lead. Mm. So, Father, as they walk into this new journey you've mapped out for them, may they know that they go in your way, and in your grace. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you for your love, your grace, your leading. We thank you that you're faithful to all your promises, and that we thank you today for all the promises that have been made in this house. And we are so grateful for your Holy Spirit just leading in the way that he has. And Lord, as I speak these words of Joy and Dave, as we have already agreed as a church, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Yes. May that be so.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Just like to pray for the great excitement that there is about today. Mm-hmm. And somebody spoke about it being like a wedding, and I've had that welling up since this morning about today.
Praise
for Joy God. And for Lidbrook and for the whole of this community. It's a catalyst when somebody new comes into a place, and I do pray for that in all the other words that have been said, the abundance of love of God's gift, the flowing of the river, but also for the detail of communications and relationships. And I just pray for the Lord's clarity and his blessing over everything, that everywhere anybody may turn, they will have an absolute understanding of what it is that's meant, intended, and that it is God's will and God's purpose behind the community pastor ministry that is going to flow out from this place. In the Lord's name, amen.
Amen. So, Lord, we pray for Joy and Dave. We surrender them into your care. We pray for your blessing on them and upon the people of this church and upon the wider community here in Lidbrook. We pray, Lord, that something of heaven will emanate from this place, something of the character of Jesus. And we pray that the values of Jesus might be seen in all of those who claim to be a part of this church. And we pray that people's lives might be enriched as they experience the grace of Jesus through the community of God's people who week by week gather in this place and serve in the mission of God when they leave this place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And So, Joy, from a little bit of a distance, I declare you to be minister in training in this church and congregation. The Lord bless you and keep you. The blessing of the Father who made us, the blessing of the Son who saves us, the blessing of the Holy Spirit who gives us life, be with you and all of us as we look for your coming kingdom. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Do take your seats. Yes. Yeah, and thank you for joining in the blessing. I wasn't quite sure whether you had the words, so I don't want to presume that you would know them by heart. So we have greetings from some of the other local churches, and so I believe we have representatives from Coleford and Cinderford, from Ross, from Ruardine and Park End. So if these friends are willing to come and bring a brief greeting, that would be lovely. Thank you. So, yeah, come on in, Sam. You go for it.
So we haven't actually met, but I've heard a lot about you. So just looking forward to praying for your ministry here at Lidbrook and working together, and hopefully the relationship between Lidbrook and Coleford can continue to blossom and grow in God's wonderful hands. Thank you.
Thank you.
Greetings from all at Ross-on-Wye Baptist Church. You might be the furthest outpost of Webnet, as we are the furthest outpost of Heber, but we're next door neighbours, and we greet you, and hopefully we can partner with you and support you, and we're just so excited for everything that's happening in Lidbrook in the wider forest at the moment, and may you be blessed mightily in all that happens here.
Well, hello Joy and David, a very warm welcome to the forest. I'm Nigel from Park End Baptist, so hopefully we'll get to meet you at some stage. May the Lord bless you, keep you, and may he enrich you with his word.
Joy, may you be blessed with the Lord's outpouring of his Spirit as you begin your journey with him here in this lovely chapel and fellowship. Greetings from Cinderford Baptist Church. We're not far away, so let's get together.
You can manage, I'm sure.
Well, when I read Tony's letter, my heart was full of joy. How fantastic to have you, and another female in the forest as well. And the rivers flow down here, but I'm from the highest point of the forest where there is a beacon. So may the rivers flow and the light be shed all over this forest area and God's kingdom come. Ruardine Hill Baptist, thanks.
Thank you, and she's also got a good name. She's Grace, you know, so... Well, thank you, everyone. Let's continue then in our sung worship together as we sing this great hymn of the Christian faith, a prayer, very much a prayer for and from Joy and Dave. And let's join in this and make it our prayer together. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. And again, if you're able to stand, let me invite you to stand.
To me, stay.
So in a few minutes' time, the Reverend Paul Graham is going to come and bring our attention to God's Word. And I'm going to pray now for Paul, and then after I've done so, Catherine and Jenny are going to come with our Bible readings. And after that, without any further introduction, Paul will come to the front. So, Father, we thank you for this great day today. We thank you for the encouragement of these worship songs that we've been singing. We thank you for the blessing that will come through our listening to your word in a moment. And we thank you for Paul, and we pray that you will use him today as your mouthpiece. We pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon him, and pray that we might hear through his words the words you want to share with us today. And we pray that you will help us to continue in that process of being transformed by the renewing of our minds. We pray in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. And so now our Bible readings.
First reading is taken from Exodus 3, 1-15, and that's page 59 of the Lidbrook Bibles. Moses and the Burning Bush. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within the bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So, now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you to me. Sent me to you, I'm sorry. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. And just briefly reading from Exodus 4, 10-12. Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? It is not I, the Lord. Now go. I will help you speak and teach you what to say." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. It's entitled "The Vine and the Branches." "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it'll be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Amen.
Thank you so very much for everything that's gone on this afternoon that has allowed me just to sit back and enjoy it all. And hear the stories as they've been told about Joy as she's come to this moment, this incredible sacramental moment where God, by his Holy Spirit, has guided her and Dave and the good folk here together with Bristol Baptist College's incredible support and people like Alistair going on the sidelines with his pom-poms cheerleading. If you've never seen Alistair with his pom-poms cheerleading, it is a mental image that will never leave you. And for us at Charlton King's Baptist Church to, with a degree of reluctance, it has to be honest, to say, "Yeah, go on, off you go. You can go, the pair of you. Great, thanks." And leaving a gap which we're yet to work out how to fill. I will just say, in bringing my greetings from Charlton King's Baptist Church, it is a great, a great joy to be here, but we seem to be using that word an awful lot today, with good reason, that it is a great pleasure and privilege to be here in this absolutely beautiful part of the world. It's quite wonderful. Those of us who got the warning about the traffic problems through Gloucester and took the opportunity to go up the slightly longer way and down the Wye Valley from Ross, past Goodrich and so on. Oh, it's rather nice, isn't it? It's rather beautiful. So I presume you'll be here a fair amount of the time here, but I presume also that you'll be taking the opportunity to prayer walk the various locations that there are around here. But in my own induction service, not that many months ago, it was pointed out that Charlton King's Baptist Church has, around its drum kit that it has on the platform, it has a surrounding plastic cage almost. It was described as a cage for the drummer. Well, Joy was often found behind that cage as the drummer in the church. So it is, in one sense, that you are now being unleashed, uncaged, released into ministry here in and around Lidbrook, and I for one am going to be delighted to walk alongside you in your time here, accompanying you, not least because it gives me the excuse to come here But please, like today, order the sunshine. I don't really want to come here when it's wet and miserable. I rather like it in the sun. But I was reflecting on this, these readings and what Joy was sharing with me about her journey here. And I want to just give a caveat to you, a word of encouragement. Joy told me that it was when she heard two sermons, particularly on the burning bush, that it kind of gave her that impetus, that push in towards ministry. Well, the good news is you're not going to really hear one today on the burning bush, because though it is around that, we're sort of skating around and moving from there as more of a launch pad. We're sort of jumping away from the burning bush quite rapidly, which is probably not a bad thing. It'd be a bit warm on a day like today, you'd have thought. So we are going to start there, but we're not going to finish there. So if you are thinking that, oh my goodness, Joy heard two, I better be careful, this won't count as one of them. So whatever God has in store for you, for your futures, it might start here, but it won't start, it might start through something I say, but it's not guaranteed. So, we start, however, with a story of a church. A church not dissimilar to this, a fictional church, a mythical church, if you want, that are looking for a new minister. And rather than write an incredibly long and complicated profile about how it's really good and it's like a dating profile, young, good-looking Baptist church, would like to meet young, similarly minded, vivacious Baptist minister with a good sense of humour, etc. They decided just simply they would say, wanted one biblical minister. And because this is a work of fiction, they got applicants from biblical times. So they got applications from Moses, and from David, and from Paul. So two Old Testament, one New Testament characters who came in. And they said, this is fantastic, because we all know what a good job description for a minister should be. You should be able to preach. At which point Moses decided to take his application away and said, maybe that's not for me. And they decided they needed somebody who was really good at administration. And David went, do you mean songwriting? And they went, we sort of mean songwriting. And David said, well, maybe I won't be so fussed about it. And they said, but actually, we need somebody who is really good at administration. Paul, of course, went, well, if you need a letter writer, I'm your man. So that was fine. So they sort of dug deep into what was going on with them. And they said, okay, so we need these. We need a good character, because those of us who are Baptist ministers have to be, we have to be accountable to the ministry's team in Didcot. And we have these things called ministerial recognition rules, which tell us how we can and can't perform, at which point all three of our biblical applicants sort of shuffled around a bit and sort of looked at the ground a bit and went, where do you stand on murder? Because that's true. Joy, I'm glad to say that though she had 30 years in nursing, I think they would have asked some significant questions to tease out the mortality rates on the wards that you were. I think we're okay. But of course, biblical characters, of which Moses has been, we've been talking about or hearing about for his encounter with the burning bush, had a, I suppose, what you could call a checkered CV, a sort of a question mark or two over their conduct prior to, and indeed when it came to David, even after the point of being told he's a man after God's own heart, that he himself had some issues when it came to rooftop bath times and stuff like that. So we have characters in the Bible who we often look at as being the epitome of where we should be heading and who we should be. But actually, a lot of them have feet of clay. They have their own problems. They have issues that, let's face it, Paul, in his desire to become a minister, though he didn't realise at the time, was getting rid of a lot of other applicants for ministerial roles, just sort of permanently clearing them off the profiles and the vacant pastoral vacancy list. They were going quite quickly. So what does that teach us about ministry? Well, for a start, I'm glad to say Joy doesn't have the same literal skeletons in the closet. But it does give us some indicators that actually God can call anyone. No one. As it says, one of the hymns we sang, the vilest offender who truly believes. Now, I hope, sitting amongst this beautiful bucolic Y Valley setting, we aren't the vilest offender. We wouldn't want to put ourselves onto that list. But all of us, those of us who have turned to Christ and gone, yes, we want to join your family, have found his grace is sufficient. It's sufficient. And sufficiency is something that in ministry actually is something we need to be dwelling on a bit more. Because we've just had Mothering Sunday, Mother's Day, last weekend, and Mothering Sunday cards, generally speaking, idolise the mother figure. Best mum ever was the card I sent to my own mum. Wanted to put in brackets, that's because you're the only one I've ever had. Competition was slim. Those sorts of things. But, you know, we do this, best mum ever. Now, I don't know about you, Joy, and I don't know about those of us here who have been in ministry for a while, but I don't ever aspire to be best minister ever. I aspire to be sufficient minister. There's an old document that I was telling Joy about earlier in the week that I've got somewhere in my archive about being a good enough minister. Good enough in ministry. We don't aspire to be, let's face it, Paul put his pre-Damascus history to one side. We don't aspire to be the next Apostle Paul, writing letters to all and sundry, setting them straight in theology and praxis. We don't aspire to be that. We can't put ourselves in the same vein as them. But what we can be is sufficient because God's grace is. We can be good enough because God is good and he's good enough for all of us. So what does that look like? Well, let's just go back to Moses briefly. Moses was taken by surprise. Moses had that surprise encounter with God, and God works in surprising ways. So one thing we need to be prepared for in our good enough ministry, in our sufficient ministry, is prepare to be surprised. God will surprise us. God will surprise us in strange and mysterious ways. He will surprise us in the village shop, where Joy and I enjoyed a very delicious baguette lunch on Monday. He will surprise us when we meet somebody in the shop and they just say something, or you pick up something and that still small voice at the back of your head says, just ask how they're really doing. Just reach out. And that will happen for you, Joy, countless times, and you'll be aware of that. You may already have been aware of that sitting in the toddler group on a Monday, sitting with the parents and those around as the children are learning how to be human. As parents are learning how to be parents and hoping they'll be good enough, you'll hear that little still small voice prompting, and it might take you by surprise. But one other thing about Moses that we take from Moses, and this is something we all need to hear, is Moses was good enough in some areas, but he wasn't good enough in others. And here's a big shock. Not every minister is good in everything. There are some things that ministers aren't quite so good at where other people in the church are. So as Joy is being formed as a minister, ministerial formation, about forming not just her to learn which bits of the Bible fit together and where the minor prophets are and stuff like that, but actually how God is forming her in her ministry, so too are you being formed in your ministry. The members of Lidbrook Baptist Church are as much in training as Joy is, because all of us are in training as disciples of Christ. All of us who are disciples of Christ should be going into each day with the attitude, today's a school day. How is God going to open up something new and rich for us to learn about? What are we going to experience in the highs and lows of life that are going to show us some new facet of God? And in so doing, we pick up skills and we pick up things to help us, not just for ourselves, but to support others on the way. So whereas Joy will be, absolutely, my goodness me, she's going to go to 100 miles an hour. 15 miles an hour. Sometimes forwards. So too are you going to be walking alongside her. As God opens her eyes, he'll open your eyes also to the richness and the depth of experience through him that will help inform yourselves and Joy's ministry. We've talked a bit about Joy's name. I think, Joy, you have a name that you've been given. I think you've got a name that you've also earned, which isn't much of a first name. It's sort of a sort of puritanical first name. I believe your name should be Resilience, because it's a name that really sits you well. Because you have shown over, we haven't known each other that long, just about a year. But over the time, I have seen your resilience. I've seen the world has thrown some real rocks at you. And through it all has been joy, has been resilience. But resilience also has its flip side. And you're also allowed not to be. And that's where the church family here, Joy will be your resilience when she has capacity to. But she is not limitless. And so there will be times when you need to be her resilience when she can't. I gave her a gift of a mug that says the word joy on it. And that mug may overflow today, but there will be days when it's running a bit dry. And you need to be her joy. You need to carry her at times. Joy has the unenviable job title of Minister in Training, which can be a really useful thing, particularly when somebody asks you a question. You go, oh, ask me that next term because I'll have done the study on it. That's a really good get out of jail free card. It's wonderful. But it does mean that actually as she's training, as she's learning, she's also ministering. So allow her and enable her to be your full minister. Allow and enable her to flourish amongst you and with you, as you also are looking to be enabled and allowed to flourish in your own ministry, as you learn what that might be. Now, through Joy, she's going to come with some ideas. She's going to come with some ideas. I'll just leave it as ideas. I won't put any kind of adjective as to whether they're good or bad ideas. She's just going to come with ideas. She'll need support in those. And support may be going, can we leave it for a bit? Support could also be able to go, yes, we'll do it. But also give each other, it's a phrase I've picked up from a friend of mine, and I use it often, and I don't claim it as my own, permission to fail. Give each other permission to fail. Which means you've got to have a go. You've got to give it a go. And if it doesn't work out, you know you don't have to do it again. But if it does work, praise God. Because God is ever creative. Ever creative and ever creating. And ever creative in his way of dealing with people as people deal with people. Because the covenant we've agreed today, the covenant that the church have agreed and those of us who are supporting Joy and you in this ministry, is a covenant that works in all directions. It works inward as we look at our own growth, our own development. It works outward as we look at those around us to bring them in, to be brought alongside. And it works upward because God is at the heart of it. God is the one who said, go. God is the one who continues to say, go. God is also the one who says, and I'll join you on the journey. So finally, I suppose, as it's only appropriate, we ought to turn to the New Testament and to that reading in John's Gospel. John has a wonderful way of saying something at least three times. If ever you want to find a point laboured slightly, read John's Gospel. It's wonderful how he says something, and then just in case you weren't paying attention the first time, he'll say it again. And then just in case you forgot, he'll say it again. Get the hint. Jesus is the true vine. We are the branches. We are enabled. We are allowed. We are knitted in. We're grafted in. Because he wants us in. His desire is for us to be part of this whole journey, this whole incredible Christian journey, with its highs, its lows, with its schisms, with its splits, with its controversies, with its arguments, and with just occasionally the ability to come together as one as God wanted us to be. Because Jesus is at the heart of it. He's the one who's holding the whole thing together. He's that foundational vine that we are grafted into. So join with joy and with joy. I think. Yes, absolute joy. And join with them, and join with each one as we're knitted into the vine together that is Christ himself. And that's not just for the church here, because it's much wider than that. That means that we in Charlton Kings, all that so many miles away or so many hours of driving away, as well as those at Colford and at Ruadeen Hill and in Ross, even though it is another association, that's okay, we'll allow it. All of us together are part of that one network. That one network that's seeking to see the kingdom of God come to birth here. And as it comes to birth here, we can therefore celebrate. And when we find that it's not going to be today, because there's something else going on, then we pray to support one another, to encourage one another, to see the barriers break down, to see how God's kingdom can break through because we are united in him. So stick together, but most importantly, stick to Jesus. Follow in his steps, his scarred hands pointing the way, his compassion driving you forward, and his grace sustaining you. And that's for you, Joy, for you, Dave, for each and every one of us here. Because ultimately, in that, we are blessed. We are blessed because we are so privileged, because God chooses such as us. People like us, with our checkered past, we may not have the same terminal history that some of our biblical forebears have, but we do have history. But with God, we also have future in this world and with him in eternity. And it would be great if through the ministry that you will share together here, we hear there are others who join in the same journey. Get knitted into that same vine to find that they too have a place around the table of Christ to see the mission and ministry of God come to fruition. Amen.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you very much. Let's begin to bring our service to an end then as we sing another modern hymn. What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? And again, if you're able to stand, let me invite you to stand. But if you are not unable or you prefer to sit, then do feel free to remain seated.
Of grace is Jesus my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ. I hold my shepherd will.
My prayer so well that I thought it was worth learning. please be seated. One or two things that might just need a bit of explanation. Firstly, if you're not sure what WebNet and HEVA is, because I was part of a Baptist church for many years and didn't know what these terms meant, WebNet is the West of England Baptist Network, and HEVA is the Heart of England Baptist Network. See, there you go. Still learning. As the Baptist Church, we are part of a big Baptist Union family, but there are various associations that have had their names changed over the years, which still confuses us all the time. But really glad to be part of those networks. Let's not let the geographical boundary lines prevent us from working together and seeking God's kingdom as a whole in this part of the world. It all feels a bit unreal to be here. I would never have seen this day happening. And if any of you are still doubting whether God works today, this day is living proof. I think many of us can testify. The first time I ever remember being asked to stand up in church and say anything, I started with a great big which seemed to resound through the whole church, and which my family didn't let me forget for many years. So it can only be by the grace of God that I'm here today. And if you don't, still haven't quite got it out of me. But if you don't mind waiting for tea for just a couple of minutes, I'd like to share this poem, which was written by a former Bristol Baptist College student and kind of became part of my story. I heard the Lord calling me, and I ran. I'm not Jonah, and there's no boat or storm or unlikely fish supper. But I ran from the task, too big an ask, of someone so small, so quiet, so fearful. Inadequacy loomed, and consumed with my humanness in the face of his holiness, I ran. I heard the Lord calling me, and I doubted. I'm not Gideon, There's no wine press or instant barbecue or sodden fleece. But I doubted that I'd heard him right. If it was true, there would be clues. I'd look like a leader. I'd sound like a leader. I'd act like a leader. And people would nudge each other knowingly, saying, "See her, she's a born leader." So I doubted and I tested. I asked for confirmation and I got it. I asked for more confirmation and I got it. So then I asked for just a little bit more confirmation, please, and this time from a stranger and in a particular place and at a particular time and in a particular way. And I got it because he gave it. I heard the Lord calling me and I argued. I'm not Moses. There's no mountain or bush or impossible flame. But I argued with him when he called my name. And I said, "Not me. You can't mean me. I'm not good enough, loud enough, brilliant enough, resilient enough, witty enough, pretty enough, tall enough, Paul enough. You can't mean me. Who am I? I am nobody." And he said, "I will be with you." I heard the Lord calling me, and I listened. I looked to him and who he is, and I finally understood. He is the Lord. I heard the Lord calling me, so I went. And that's credits to Ali Tinson, whose middle name happens to be Joy. So what you really want to know is instructions for tea. And I believe, I can't see the ladies who are doing all the hard work, they've gone out already. I believe we're going to have something of a one-way system. So so the door that way leads to the food. That way first. See, I thought it would be more sensible to not be carrying hot drinks for longer, but I will I will follow what I've been instructions. We'll go with it. So go that way. Grab your cup of tea or coffee, and then there's a door which connects the two rooms behind and into that room to grab your food. Is that right? And then come out that way. And if we go that way, then we won't all be bumping into each other with hot drinks and food and things. And then feel free to mill around, sit back down in your seat, whatever, with your food. Or if you want to go out the front with it and enjoy the sunshine, then feel free. I'd love to say hi to all of you. I hope I get the chance. If there's anybody that needs to rush off and I don't get the chance to say hello to, please do drop me an email. And I've put my new minister@ email on the back of the sheets, and I've tested it does work. Anything else I need to say? No, just a really massive thank you again to everybody that's taken part today and to everybody that's come. Let's pray. Let's finish with a blessing. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family on heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And Lord, we ask for your blessing upon us now as we eat this food and drink this tea, that there will be conversations of you and that you and your Spirit will go with us back to our homes and the journeys that we have going on from here.
Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done and are going to do today and beyond in all of us and through all of us. And we thank you for the food that we're going to eat and the drink that we're going to drink and for those that have prepared it. Bless this time that we have now together. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you. I don't know who wants to start the ball rolling, but yeah, feel free to help yourselves.